Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. Now, I am frustrated, as you are, with the current state of the Republican leadership, the spinelessness, the inability to hold the Democrats accountable for anything, the inability to force consequences on the Democrats for any of their scandals, unconstitutional acts, or outright illegal behavior. The Democrats know that they can do anything and everything. The law does not apply to them, and that the Republican leadership will never hold them accountable for anything. Now, I wish I would have saved the article so I would have been able to read it to you and provide you the names, but in some of the state races that are going on for the 2022 midterms, there are candidates out there that are running in the Republican primary against Mitch McConnell, talking about how he needs to be replaced as the leader of the Republicans in the Senate. And those people are leading in their primaries right now, because people have had it with the Republican leadership, constantly rolling over. It's almost like the Republican leadership are secretly Democrats that are just there to give you the illusion that they have any opposing ideas or any intentions of stopping the Democrats. But whenever the push comes to shove, they always roll over. The Democrats never face any consequences. And the Republican Party, you know, their leadership, goes off and constantly proposes ideas as if they haven't been tried in order to stop the left and think this is a new solution. See, they're not there to actually stop the Democrats. They're only there to provide the illusion of it. So let me give you an example here. Ken Blackwell states that Republicans should station poll workers at every precinct in 2022. Really? Like, we haven't thought of that? As if there were no poll workers in the 2020 election, as if there were no poll workers in the states in which all bunch of election shenanigans were going on, as if there were no poll workers in the specific precincts in which there were a lot of shenanigans going on. You know, we had poll workers, and you know what happened? The state secretaries, election of management officials, you know, all the anti-Trumpers stacked the election workers with a bunch of far-left radical left-wing activists, and they provided them training on how to start confrontations, trained agitators to start specifically confrontations with Republican poll watchers, with Republican poll workers, and got them removed from the location in which the ballots were being counted. They even violated court orders. There were court orders saying, no, you have to let these people in. And those court orders were violated. And Republican poll watchers were removed from the locations, blocked from being able to fulfill their constitutional responsibilities or from being able to engage in their legal ability to provide accountability and ensure the accuracy of the vote. So when you go off there and you provide this, oh, I got a solution, we'll put poll workers at every precinct in 2022. How is this a new idea? One. And two, what good are these poll workers when the left can just eject them, have them removed and blocked from being able to do what they're there to do? And that there are no consequences for ejecting them, or no consequences for violating court orders in order to object them. So whenever the election is not going their way, what's going to happen with these poll workers? They're going to be tossed out again, removed from that location, so that the Democrats can once again engage in whatever amount of cheating they need to in order to get the election results they want, regardless of how you voted. Further demonstrating just how useless the Republican Party has become in D.C., we have Chuck Grassley. Chuck Grassley, my senator, I want to vote to replace him. I thought about running against him myself, but my wife has made it clear that until our children are grown, I'm not allowed to run for any office that would locate us anywhere close to Washington, D.C. But Chuck Grassley blasts Justice Department for not declassifying Crossfire Hurricane documents. Oh, yes, yes, just blasting them, talking about how outraged you are. Yeah, that will do something. You know, where was Chuck Grassley during the Trump administration? Oh, yes. Threatening Trump that the possibility of impeachment should he fire Mueller for a probe based off of Crossfire Hurricane that was completely baseless and was using documents made up, fictional documents made up by the Democrats in order to justify it. Oh, yes, he was willing to go off and threaten Trump should he stop the baseless investigation. But now that it's out in the open, that this was a completely political investigation with absolutely zero basis, is he out there threatening impeachment? No. So Chuck Grassley blasts the Justice Department for not declassifying the documents. Now, just a bit of background information, Trump signed an order saying that these documents had to be released. Now, as far as it goes, that order has not been rescinded, and the documents still haven't been released. They're dragging their feet. So my question to you, Chuck Grassley, is this. What if the Justice Department just tells you to go fly a kite? They're not going to release them, regardless of what executive orders were signed. Or let's say Biden comes in now and signs a new executive order reclassifying those documents. What are you going to do about it? They tell you to go fly a kite. Are you going to take any action? Chuck Grassley, like so many other Republicans in D.C., were oh so willing to issue threats of impeachment to President Trump should he interfere in the Democrats' baseless and political investigation that was just completely made up. Oh, yes, they were so willing to come out on camera and say, if you do anything to stop this baseless investigation, oh, you may be facing impeachment. But to date, there is zero talk from these very same people on impeachment of Biden or anyone else in his administration for their unlawful actions or for their attempts to engage in cover-up of past criminal activities. So why is that? Why is it that when it's a Republican president, the Republicans in the House and the Senate are oh so willing to talk about impeachment and issue threats of impeachment? But if a Democrat is in office, nothing. So the Justice Department will go tell you to fly a kite, you know, to kiss their backside, and you're not going to do anything about it except what? Go out on camera and talk about how you're extremely disappointed and outraged. But as always, there will be absolutely zero consequences for Democrats and Democrat administration. Zero consequences. You know, if you had any spine whatsoever, you would be letting the Justice Department know and everybody else in that administration know that their actions could easily result in impeachment come 2022. That you should be issuing to Merrick Garland, hey, you know, in 2022, you will be facing impeachment if you do not cooperate. To Joe Biden, hey, you will be facing impeachment if you try and violate the Constitution and try and force down this illegal mandate. And hey, maybe you should also be going through and issuing impeachment, at least the threat of impeachment, should they continue the illegal and blatantly unconstitutional DACA program or anything else. Hey, you have the power of impeachment, and you should be able to use it. Heck, the Democrats, they made it blatantly clear that impeachment doesn't even require any wrongdoing whatsoever. They can just impeach someone just because they don't like the fact that they won an election. The Democrats weren't impeded by that. So why is it that you won't issue any threats of impeachment for the Democrats for actual crime? You know, for things like the Afghanistan debacle, or how about actual crimes of violating the Constitution? I'm just wondering, you were also willing to issue threats against Trump on baseless claims, should he interfere with that? So why is there no threat of impeachment against Biden or his administration for not declassifying Crossfire Hurricane documents, for violating the Constitution, for their incompetence, or a myriad of other things at this particular point in time? You see, this is the complete and total frustration that I have with the Republican Party. They refuse to do anything to hold Democrats accountable for anything, but they're more than willing to back up and go along with whatever the Democrats want to say and do nothing more than maybe, you know, claim that they are disappointed or outraged on camera, but not willing to do any action whatsoever. And who will actually go off in the Senate and oppose the Democrats, or at least claim to oppose the Democrats? Only those who are up for re-election this year or next year. Only those who are up for re-election in the current election cycle. But once they are not up for re-election, when they're safe, They go back to stabbing us in the back and refusing to do anything. And we got to stop falling for this con game where they come out, you know, in the Senate and the election cycle in which they are up for re-election, claim to, you know, they will hold them accountable, that they will stand up. And then once the election is over, for the next 4 years or the next two election cycles, they do nothing except for stab us in the back as they support the Democrat. So, Chuck Grassley, I plan on voting for anybody who challenges you in the primary because you have done nothing. And I encourage everyone to take a look at the Republican senators who are up for re-election in 2022. And if they have a primary challenger, support that primary challenger. We're not going to get anywhere because if we keep electing the same group of Republicans to the Senate in 2022, we're just going to get more of the same, more of Democrats being immune to any consequences for anything. Now, moving on from Chuck Grassley and the feckless Republican leadership, as you know, the Democrats are completely divorced from reality. They have no sense whatsoever which way is up or down. They just go off and make a bunch of BS and then expect to be able to shove it down your throat. I mean, we've known that the Democrat Party has been divorced from reality for quite some time. I mean, think about the transgender movement. Could you get any more divorced from reality than trying to push the concept that a man can be a woman and a woman could be a man and that your gender can change whenever you want? Well, to continue their divorce from reality, as concerns over inflation has been rising, Biden's chief of staff retweets claims that inflation is a high-class problem. Oh, yes. Could you think of another situation that could be divorced from reality here? I mean, yeah, there's plenty of examples of the Democrats being divorced from reality, but inflation is a high-class problem? Inflation. Really? That is the claim that the Democrats want to make in order to shut you up so that you don't talk about the ineptitude of Democrat policies, so that you don't point out or so that their base really will ignore anything you say about how damaging Biden's policy and the Democrats' policies are to the economy or how much they are hurting the American people. Because think about this, inflation is not a high-class problem. High class, if you're looking at that as far as high income earners, inflation is not really much of a concern to the high class. Inflation, they barely notice it. It's pocket change to them. Inflation affects most those at the bottom of the income scale. Because think about this. Let's say you're someone who's making minimum wage starting off and you're barely getting by. Because of inflation now, you have to work more hours, longer hours, more days, maybe take on a second job in order to afford the same standard of living as you did before, right? So you continually have to work more, work longer, work harder, take on multiple jobs in order to just maintain your standard of living, not lift yourself up or increase your standard of living. Same thing when it comes to the middle class. Now, for the rich, they don't have to do anything more because they already have so much money that 5% increase in the cost of living is nothing to them. It's like you going through the McDonald's drive-thru and ordering off of the dollar menu. It's pocket change. But this is how they're going to try and stifle anybody speaking out against the Biden inflation. How they're going to get people to stop talking about the economy. Oh, you know, you prices are going up and you're concerned. Oh, you must be high class, you know, because no one making less money is concerned about inflation, right? So they're going to try and target you as an elitist concerned about rising prices that are increasing far beyond income. Now, maybe they are trying to make the case that this is a high class problem in terms of the United States versus the rest of the world. But even then, it doesn't make sense because inflation is always inflation always affects most those with less income. High class problem. Are you kidding me? This is the attack line that they're coming up with. Now, usually the Democrats are much better at coming up with attack lines or much better at marketing. But then again, maybe they've never really been that great at marketing. They just have the media pushing whatever it is that they claim, and social media censoring anything that is contrary to the claims of the Democrats. But a high-class problem, so you're part of the bourgeoisie if you are concerned about inflation? I mean, I take a look at this and I'm wondering, does the base, or those who voted for the Democrats, those who actually voted, not the made up voters, not the ballots that were stuffed into the ballot box, but those who actually did vote, because let's face it, you know, regardless of how much election fraud took place, there was always some people that actually did vote for Biden and the Democrats. And you got to be wondering what the heck they were thinking. How disconnected from any sense of reality, truth, or facts do you have to be in order to vote for the Democrats? Now that you're suffering, are you regretting your decision? I would hope so. But as we go through and we dive into this more, you realize that inflation is not an accident. It's not being caused by the incompetency of the Democrats. The decline of the country, the decline of the economy, the financial pain that is being pushed upon the American people is by design. Because people who are financially struggling, you know, broken, desperate, are easy to manipulate. And the Democrats have figured this out a long time ago. That's why they hate it when someone like Trump was in office, because he was creating financial prosperity. And people were not broke and desperate, which means they were not easy to manipulate. And the best way to point this out here is, with the Democrats being so corrupt and wanting to operate in secret, what better enables them to operate behind closed doors, right? One, people who are broke and struggling, having to work, you know, 12 to 18 hour days, multiple jobs, barely enough to get by, just trying to figure out how they're going to keep a roof over their heads and a meal on the table. And all the information they get are just headlines and sound bites from the media. Now let's take the second group of people. The second group of people are financially well off. They're not rich, but they're able to provide for more than their basic needs. They go to work for 8 hours a day, and then they're able to come home, spend some time with their family. They're able to go through and manage their finances, putting together a budget, planning their investments. They're watching their money. They have time to take a look at what's going on in D.C., the proposed legislation, and how it will affect their family's finances. They are able to consume more than just a media headline or a sound clip and actually dive in and have a little bit of time to be able to read the actual legislation. They're planning their financial futures, they're planning their retirements, and what they can leave to their kids. These are responsible people. They even provide for a will for their family. Now, which group of people do you think the Democrats are going to be able to easily manipulate to surrender their rights and freedoms for, quote, the government to take care of them? The group of people that are broken, desperate, with no time to actually figure out what's going on, because they're so busy just trying to survive day to day, are the group of people that are financially prospering? Well, the answer to that is really easy to figure out, which is why when the Democrats are in charge, they do everything they can to damage the economy, engage in policies that create massive inflation, because they want you to be broke, desperate, and stupid with no time to pay attention. Because if you're paying attention to them, it's hard for them to operate behind closed doors. But as the left continues to lose their stranglehold on information, people are able to go and find alternative sources of information outside of the corrupt, dishonest media, you know, legacy media of CNN, NBC, MSNBC, and all the other propagandists posing as journalists. And as we have communication platforms to get out from under the censorship of Facebook and Twitter, their stranglehold on information is waning. Of course, the Democrats right now are working on being able to reassert their stranglehold on information as they try to develop an amendment to Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act, now trying to say that platforms will be legally liable and responsible for content they deem to be hate speech or causes emotional harm. Translation? Democrats are trying to make it illegal for anybody to share anything the Democrats disagree with. Any opinions, any views, any facts, any scientific research that the Democrats oppose or disagree with will be illegal, is what the Democrats are trying to go for, so that they can sue and bankrupt any company that allows you to freely communicate your thoughts, opinions, ideas, or facts so that Facebook, Twitter, and the liberal platforms, if you can call them platforms, will have a complete and total stranglehold over information where they determine what you're allowed to think, what you're allowed to say, what information you're allowed to have access to, all of that to be controlled by the Democrats. Now, what does that sound like to you? Does that sound like a democracy and where people are informed, are able to provide informed consent, are able to engage in debate over ideas, or to have informed information when going to the polls for voting? Or does this sound like a third world dictatorship, a banana republic, where they pretend like you have a choice, but the outcomes are rigged, and any attempt to expose the corruption is deemed illegal, where people are prosecuted, political prisoners? Well, I know exactly what this sounds like. And just like in all other situations, the Democrats know that in a democracy with free and fair elections, with an informed public, they cannot compete. They cannot get elected because they are based off of pure lies and propaganda. So they have to do everything that they can to engage in censorship and speech control in order to prevent their corruption, their illegal activities from being known to the public, for them to stifle any opposition. And it doesn't matter to them that what they are doing is blatantly unconstitutional. Why? Because as we've discussed at the beginning of the episode, Democrats are never held accountable for their actions. They never face the consequences for their crimes or constitutional violations. So they keep engaging in more and more tyranny because the Republicans will never do anything about it. And with the economy in the state that it is, with inflation the way it is, you, for the most part, are unlikely to have the available time to be able to go through and research it on your own. You barely have time to go through and see what it is that they're doing because, as by design, you're just struggling to keep a roof over your head, the lights on, and food on the table. And this gets to me because as I was teaching history to my kids in our homeschool, we talked about the Inca Empire. And the Inca Empire had three levels of people. Of course, you had the Sapa Inca, which was the ruler, the leader. And then you had the peasant. And then you had the royal. Now, the royals, they owned land. They only worked in government. And basically, you know, they would have the peasants work their land. But the peasants, they weren't able to prosper from it. They were only able to have enough food in order to survive and only enough free time in order to basically clean up and go to sleep. They were basically kept so busy that they would never think about their condition or how their society is laid out or the decisions being made by those who rule over them. It was a form of control. And the Democrats are seeking to implement that style of society in America, where Biden, you know, occupying the White House would be the Sapa Inca. And we, the average Joe, are just the peasants who are only there to provide for the royals. And who are the royals? Well, they're the so-called journalists in the media, the Hollywood elite, and of course, the Democrats in the House and Senate. Now, the more information we have, the less they can get away with this. So censorship, along with planned financial pain, and making it so that we don't have time or access to actual facts, is how they plan to stay in power. And of course, the Democrats already have their excuses and scapegoats already set up for when they are no longer able to manage the outrage and anger of the American people. And of course, these excuses will be pushed by the phony journalists that occupy the media. They'll try and say that the problems that didn't exist until the policies the Democrats rammed through were passed without any Republican support are the fault of the previous administration. Yes, even though during the previous administration there was no problem, and the problem didn't exist until they rammed through on a partisan line vote the policies that created the problem, it will somehow be the Republicans. Now, if they're unable to blame the Republicans for some reason, oh, they have their scapegoats. They'll blame anybody and everybody else, such as China. Now, don't get me wrong, China has a lot of blame to go around for what has happened with COVID and a lot of other things. But we are seeing here, as a result of Biden's policy, that there are disruptions in our supply chain, especially his mandatory vaccine policy that he is trying to push through, is causing massive disruptions as people are saying, no, as long as the vaccine is mandated, I'm not going to work. You know, the truckers and supply chain workers. But of course, they'll go off and they'll blame China. Now, of course, they won't be completely wrong. They'll just fail to acknowledge that the problems were only exacerbated or, you know, came to light as a result of Democrat policy, or not came to light, but only came to fruition because of the Democrat policy. So we take a look at China with what's going on and the ability to disrupt supply chains. And we realize that China doesn't need to engage in war, doesn't need to launch missiles, and doesn't need to nuke the United States in order to inflict serious harm, because the stupidity of our political leadership, along with businesses, has given China almost all control over supply chains and manufacturing, which means that when it comes to China getting more aggressive and taking over other countries, what can we do about it? Anything that we try to do means that we will be inflicted, our economy will be destroyed by China's disruption to the supply chain. Now, we were gaining our independence back, bringing manufacturing back to the United States under Trump, becoming energy independent under President Trump. And Biden steps into office and ruins all of that and weakens the country, making us dependent on other nations for our energy needs. So if they don't like what we're doing, they could cut us off and we're screwed. So the article here from Hot Air, China's control of the supply chain is more dangerous than its news. The article reads, the idea of a nation weaponizing its control of the global supply chain shouldn't be looked at as something unthinkable or even new. We saw the same thing happen in the 70s with oil when the Arab nation squeezed off the supply through the Strait of Hormuz, or however you pronounce that. The reluctant gas lines and spiraling fuel prices caused a tremendous amount of disruption in America, even though the OPEC nations still had seemingly limitless supplies of black gold. Under the Trump administration, the United States oil and gas industry boomed, I guess they said waxed, whatever, until we were the global leader in energy production, removing that threat from the OPEC nations. Though the Biden administration's energy policies has destroyed our energy independence in favor of so-called green energy, which is a failed technology as far as energy independence go. It may provide as supplement energy, you know, but so far, solar, wind, and all of the other so-called green energy plans have no ability to provide for our energy needs. And so we can see here, because it's happened in the past, that when we make ourselves wholeheartedly dependent upon another country, whether that is for our energy needs or whether it's for our production and supply chain needs, that country has authority or power over us and has the ability to cripple us whenever they want, should they not like what we are doing, if they don't like us standing up to them. And one of the many things that has been disastrous about the Biden administration is not only the damage being inflicted on our economy, not only the assault on our constitutional freedoms, not only the assault on our democracy itself, but he has deliberately weakened the country and given the power, or given excess power, to our geopolitical and military enemy. All someone has to do around the world is just claim death to America, or destruction to America. And Biden's out there clapping, cheering them on, and doing everything he can to support them. He's not only an unconstitutional fraud, he is outright traitor. And this comes as no surprise here. I mean, this is a person who decided that he's going to open border policy and ship COVID-infected people to Republican-controlled areas. He is putting lives in danger. And I guess the goal here is hoping that COVID cases would surge in those areas and kill off people that will vote Republican. You know, kill off his political adversary. And if they do manage to survive, he could take a look at the spike in cases that he caused through his open border policies and aiding and abetting of illegal immigrants, and then use that for political messaging saying, see, we got a spike in case. It's because they're not following the science, even though without Biden's actions, Republican areas, because they are following the science, are doing much better at handling COVID than any of the Democrat areas. But he can use that and then use it as a claim to justify his unconstitutional action. So it's win-win for him, right? He either gets to kill off supporters of his political adversaries, or he gets to use it, the results of his actions, for propaganda purposes that he knows the media will push. Now, backing up here for just a moment, getting back to the left's constant desire for complete information censorship here. As you know by now, there was a sexual assault in Virginia in a high school where a man, pretending he's a woman, or at least pretending he's a woman on some days, sexually assaulting high school girls, and the school seemingly trying to cover it up. Now, at the same time, the school is going off and creating their transgender policies so that men who claim to be women can access the women's restroom and women's locker room, you know, the very places where the sexual assault took place. And so knowing that this person, you know, was sexually assaulted, and knowing that the perpetrator has been caught multiple times sexually assaulting multiple women just by claiming that sometimes he's a woman, so he can access the female areas where, and especially during times when there's not any security or oversight in those areas to protect the students. So knowing this, the school still wants to push forward in implementing their transgender policy. Well, this Virginia dad did not like this. You know, he's very much speaking out against the transgender policy in school because it's this very type of policy that created the situation in which allowed for his daughter to be sexually assaulted by this criminal, by this delusional criminal who's using the transgender movement, which is a completely delusional movement to begin with, but is using it in order to be able to find and attack his victim. So as the vote was coming up for the school's transgender policy, the school board realized that this dad is likely to show up at the school board meeting and talk about how his daughter was sexually assaulted and how the school board's planned policies would make future sexual assaults and rapes in the school much easier for predators just by simply claiming to be women. So what does the school board do? The school board decides to preemptively tell the dad not to show up, that he would be banned from the school board meeting. And when the dad showed up anyways, they arrested him. Now, let's go through and take a look at this and translate this for you. The school board are elected officials. The school board meeting is a public meeting where people are supposed to be able to go and address their ideas and concerns to their elected representatives on the school board. The school board decides, we don't want to hear from people we know will disagree with us, so we're going to ban them from the meeting, even though they haven't done anything yet. They haven't engaged in any crimes. They haven't gone through and engaged in any actual threats or anything of the sort. They say that because they did not want to hear an opposing view to their proposed policy agenda, they were going to ban this dad for no other reason than the fact that they knew he would oppose the policies and tell the story of what happened to his daughter that this policy would make possible to happen to other daughters, to other women at that school. Now, we have a First Amendment. What the school board did is a complete violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Now, I haven't seen the Virginia Constitution, but I'm pretty sure it's a complete violation of that as well. I mean, you can go through and you could probably look up Virginia's Constitution and see whether they have free speech under their Virginia Constitution, but it doesn't matter because it's already covered by the United States Constitution. So this school board is trying to set the precedent that they can ban, preemptively ban, anybody from showing up that they know is going to disagree with their policy proposals, and then arrest anybody for exercising their First Amendment rights at a public hearing to their elected official. Think about that. And this is on the heels of knowing that the Biden administration is trying to set forth policies to treat parents as terrorists for speaking out against the schools and the school boards and what they are telling the kids. Want to teach them as terrorists. Meanwhile, if left-wing groups go down or take to the streets and burn down federal buildings, that's peaceful protesting. That's democracy, they say. But they claim to be able to go through and strip you of your First Amendment rights, that free speech only exists so long as that free speech is used to agree with the leftists and what they want to do. Any disagreement is not covered by the First Amendment, they say. It's harmful. It's hate speech. It's disinformation, they say. Of course, they can't back up those claims, but they want to say it. And even if someone was saying something that wasn't completely true, that's not illegal. That is actually covered by the First Amendment. But in any event, the idea that public official at a public meeting can ban someone from the premises just because they know they won't like what that person has to say is unconstitutional. But do you think the Democrats care? No. And speaking of this, one thing that gets to me, what the hell are these police officers thinking? I mean, think about this. If you're a police officer, you got the Democrats constantly attacking you, calling you criminals, wanting to throw you in jail for doing your job of enforcing the law. You got Republicans trying to support you to do your job, to stop you from from being the sacrifice to the Democrats, to protect you from political prosecution. And yet, whenever the Democrats want to violate the Constitution and strip someone of their First Amendment rights or any of their rights under the Constitution, you happily comply with that? You happily go through and arrest those who would support you and violate the rights of the people who would support you in order to support those who are engaged in unconstitutional behavior, who, if given the chance, would throw you in jail just for enforcing the law? What the hell are you thinking? Okay, now one last story here. So in further evidence that the tyrannical nature of the Democrats will always lead to them attacking their own, always lead to them eating each other up and pushing their base further towards the Republican Party. You know, the left will always eat their own as people bide to have more standing in the Democrat Party than any other group, because the whole basis of left-wing politics is tyranny, and every group is trying to assert dominance over the other group. So, you know, there's a conflict here regarding Dave Chappelle and Netflix, you know, his special, and the so-called trans community is upset at Dave Chappelle and is demanding that Netflix takes down Dave Chappelle's comedy special. Now, this puts Netflix in a no-win situation here between two left-wing groups. So on the one hand, if they leave it up, they're going to piss off and have angry at them that Democrats' transgender wing, a completely delusional wing that is based on a completely fictional claim, yes. But so long as they leave up Dave Chappelle's special, they have a problem. The transgender community are going to be pissed off and upset with Netflix and constantly attacking them on social media. However, on the other hand, if Netflix takes down Dave Chappelle's special, well, then they are silencing a black man. They are taking away the rights of a black man to engage in comedy, to speech, to censor a black man. So this puts Netflix in a situation. Does he support a left-wing black man, or do they support the transgender movement? Which movement are they going to move against? Because no matter what they do, if they leave it up, the transgender movement will attack them. If they take it down, the black community will attack Netflix as being racist or caving to racism. They're in a no-win situation. And this is what happens when you engage in politics that involves tyranny, authoritarianism, and the desire to oppress other people and oppress other people in a way that takes away their rights and freedom. So they're always going to eat their own. One group is always going to be upset if another group says anything against them. You know, any group that tries to assert their dominance over another group constantly creates conflict. Now, on the Republican side, we have healthy debates. You know, I will go out there and I'll say, yes, we should vote against a particular Republican candidate for the actions that they engage in. You know, but I'm not saying that they should not be allowed to run for office. You know, people have a choice, but I can speak out against them. And on the Republican side, we can disagree. We can have difference of opinions about how to handle a situation without one group calling for the cancellation or the destruction of another group or to demand that the rights of another group be stripped away because we just simply don't agree with them. We enjoy debate. We encourage debate because debate not only is healthy in a democracy, but it's also about fact. And the Democrats, they don't have facts. They have claimed outrage, and any disagreement is emotional harm. Anyways, I think I'm going to go ahead and end it there on this episode. I'd like to thank you so much for listening. Please leave me a rating and review, and I will be back again soon.